Well, how many of you know what I have in my hand here? That's right. It's a very famous Disney character, and his name is Tigger. Now, he's just kind of plain orange now. He used to have pretty black stripes all over him. His ear wasn't quite as tore up as it is now. His tag that's a shred now of silk used to be real nice. Now, it's kind of worn and raggedy, isn't it? Now, if you found this in your car, maybe at your house at home or laying on your couch, probably throw it in the trash, wouldn't you? Well, certainly, you wouldn't drive an hour to get something like this, would you? Well, maybe you would. Let me explain. When Casey was young, we went on a trip. I can't for the life of me remember where we went, but it was about an hour away. And we returned later that evening. She was asleep. I unbuckle her from her car seat, carry her into the house, and laid her in the bed. She woke up and looked around, and then I heard a blood-curdling scream. "Where's my Tigger?" Well, that just kind of sent a chill right down my spine. So immediately, I run out to the car. I'm looking everywhere for this thing. Looked under the seats, and I finally concluded, well, she must have dropped it where we were. So guess who got the responsibility of driving the hour back to getting Tigger? You got it. Had to drive an hour back to pick up that raggedy, nasty stuffed animal. But you know what? That simple object there brought incredible assurance to its owner. It brought security to her. It brought peace to her. When she was upset or afraid, Tigger would comfort her. In bad times and in good. But especially in bad times. And there's nothing that could take its place. I remember a time when Tigger was getting his weekly bath. That Casey, she was probably 2 years old, got three other okay stuffed animals. They were okay. And paced back and forth in front of the dryer until the real Tigger was ready. That's devotion, isn't it? You know, she almost rubbed the ear clear off. And we tried to get another Tigger that looked like it, but the ear wasn't the same. Because she used to rub the ear. And that comforted her. Wouldn't it be great if there were something that would give us as adults that same kind of comfort as that Tigger gave to my daughter? Wouldn't it be great if we could have something that gave us that kind of assurance? Well, actually for us Christians, there is something that can give us that kind of assurance, that kind of comfort. And it's especially so as we make the commitment to carry out what Christ has given us to do. And we saw after last Sunday, we serve a risen Savior, don't we? He was dead and he was in the grave. But now he's risen. And because of that fact, I ask you this morning, what now? What do we do now? You know, our scripture this morning is commonly known as the Great Commission. But there is actually more than just a commission here. As we will read this morning, we're going to see that these few short verses here speak of two questions that are answered that are critical to us as Christians. The first one, who is Jesus? Who is he? And the second one, what does he want us to do? And then the last verse contains an incredible promise that comforts us and encourages us as long as we live. So there's more than a great commission here. There's a great claim, a great commission, and a great comfort. So let's look at this great claim here. We're going to read Matthew chapter 28. We're going to start in verse 18. Matthew 28:18 says, "Then Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now, during Jesus' short ministry, he spoke and taught with great authority, didn't he? Great authority. How about when he healed people? Was there power in his healing touch? You bet there was. But you know what? You can search the scriptures inside, outside, upside down, and you will never find Jesus saying, "By my own power I heal you." Never. He always deferred to his Father, where the true power came from. Always. Not once did he claim that authority on his own. Do you know, even as he, that last week of his life that we talked about in the last 2 weeks, even up to the cross, he submitted himself to persecution, to embarrassment, humiliation, rejection, and even death. You know, after his death, what was the feeling? They thought it was a lost cause, didn't they? They thought, he's dead, now what? It's over. It's over. He's dead. Nothing else can happen. But right here, in Matthew 28, the risen Savior is standing before them, right in front of their eyes. Everything has changed now. Jesus wasn't simply a great leader who had a powerful ministry for just a little brief period in time. Now he's a great Savior. A great Savior in whose hands lie all authority and power in heaven and on earth. This power was given to him by his Father and our great God. You know, think about leaders all throughout history. Helping the poor, who immediately comes to mind? Mother Teresa, right? She's probably inspired thousands of people to help with the poor. And she probably will continue to do so through her legacy. And her memory, I'm sure, is going to be with her followers. But there is a huge difference for what's taking place here in Matthew. This is a risen Christ who says, I have all power and all authority in heaven and on earth. He doesn't simply inspire by a great example, does he? No. He empowers by a great authority now. That is an amazing claim, isn't it? That is a life-changing thing. It's a life-changing thing to be involved in that cause that Jesus has given us. Now let's look now at the Great Commission. We're going to read, continue here in Matthew 28. We're going to read verse 19 and part of verse 20. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So based on this great claim that Jesus has made, he gives his followers the most magnificent gift that we could have. Here he makes them and us part of the greatest possible adventure that we could have in this lifetime. This commission that he's given us, you know what it does? It causes us to examine our lives and to examine our church life in light of these words. All of our activities, all of our programs, all of our budget, all of our stewardship programs have to be made in accordance to these four simple words. Go and make disciples. You know, it's not that we need to get on our bicycles and pick up our briefcase and our Bible and go knock on every door in every neighborhood and buttonhole them with the gospel and then run to the next one. No, that's not what it's about. It also says that it's not about us not having potlucks, social gatherings, fellowship events, or even great times together. It's a challenge for us to carefully look at our individual lives as well as the life of our church. Because you know what? We're not a club, are we? Are we a club? No. Are we a fraternal organization, maybe? Nope. That doesn't get it. We're not a book club, are we? No. How about a social service organization? Is that what we are? Nope. Then we're a restaurant. Is that it? We could be, as good as some of the food I've tasted is. But we're not a restaurant either. We're not a university. We're not even a Bible college. There may be times in our lives together as Christians that we may look like a social service organization. Or we might resemble a club or resemble a school. But you know what? Christ has issued us a blueprint here. A blueprint that defines our heart and defines who we are and what He empowers us to do. And it's called the Great Commission. We are the ones who teach, make, and baptize followers for Jesus Christ. We are the ones who make, teach, and baptize fellow followers for Jesus Christ. How awesome is that? It can be an enormous task too, can it? Jesus said, go and make disciples. That's hard work. You know, because many people, especially, you know, the mainline Christians, they would rather go to a book club. They would rather go to a potluck than to come and worship and to learn about our great God and His Son. But you know, everything that we do, everything that we do, individually or as a church, whether we're out at a softball game, whether we're eating out, whether we're at a soccer game, whether we're something as simple as a garage sale, we have the opportunity to make disciples for Jesus Christ. We have to be aware of the opportunities that God gives us. And He gives us opportunities. Now, I remember back, it was either a year or two ago, I was chaperoning a field trip at Casey's. I think we were going to the aquarium or something. And I was sitting right behind a mother who had a son in Casey's grade. We were just talking, and the subject of religion came up. And I took the opportunity, and I started talking to her about the kingdom of God and about why these things are happening around us and about where it's all going to lead. Well, here recently I began to work with this family. And God willing, they will be joining us soon for church. Have to take those opportunities. We have to be aware of them when they present themselves to us. We have to be ready to give an account of our faith at all times. You know, we can have great times together, can't we? We do have great times together. Many of them. Great Commission is about not having, it's not about not having fun together, but it's about looking through our lives with a fine-tooth comb, seeking for ways to turn to the task that we've been given, the great task, the Great Commission. And because of that task, we're finally given the great comfort. Let's finish reading here in Matthew 28:20. Jesus says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now the English here that it's translated, it really, really, really tame compared to the Greek here. The emphasis in the Greek is more like Jesus saying, and get this, I am going to be with you day and night until my purpose is fulfilled and my Father's kingdom is established on this earth. That's the kind of force that the Greek presents here. You know, there's no question that what we've been given is an incredible challenge. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to talk to people. Most people don't want to listen. But you know, this same task, it's an incredible gift for us. It's a blessing for us. How can we go about making followers of Jesus? Well, did Jesus appoint a chairman for the evangelism committee here? Nope. Did he pick maybe the best two disciples here that were good at it? No, he didn't. He appointed them all, didn't he? And guess what? He appoints each and every one of us as well. You're appointed. I'm appointed to make followers for Christ. I'll admit, there's times when that's really not on the top of my list, like it should be. Then there's other times when it seems so difficult to reach the people that you really want to reach, doesn't it? Maybe your family or your friends. You think, why can't you get it? We need to be devoted to our Savior Jesus, who now isn't just our Savior. He's our high priest now as well. You know, we spoke last week about just what we have been given. Our sins, they have a high price tag. That price tag was the sinless blood of Jesus. That was the price tag for your sin, for my sins. Every single one of us sitting here this morning deserves to die. Every one of us. Not just death, but eternal death for our sins. Every one of us. But our Lord paid the price. He traded His life for ours. How thankful should we be? How devoted should we be because of that? And don't think that a simple word can't have an impact in someone's life. Because it can. You never know where that seed that you plant is going to take root and it's going to grow. I told you the story about myself. It took 8 years for that seed that was planted in my life to take root and grow. You never know. We may not get immediate results. And usually you don't get immediate results. But people, we have been given an incredible gift. Do you realize that we have the opportunity for eternal life? Life forever. Do you realize that we know the truth of God's Word? Do you realize we can offer that same gift that we have to someone else. Is there any better gift that we could give someone? No. Don't keep it to yourself. Spread it. Jesus gave us a simple command. Go and make disciples. Wasn't a suggestion. Wasn't a statement. Wasn't even a request. It was a command. We need to be as devoted to our Father God as a certain father was to rescuing his daughter's favorite Tigger. And I pray that each and every week that we will share that message, that God will give us the opportunity to reach someone in the coming weeks, and that we will go and make disciples. Then when they come to this place, they will be able to drink from the cup of life, as we will do this morning. May God richly bless each and every one of you here this morning. And may we all go and make disciples.